Blue Sky Broadcasting presents Snakes on a Plane, starring Samuel L. Jackson as FBI agent Neville Flynn, Juliana Margulies as Claire Miller, and Nathan Phillips as Sean Jones. Voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. An aerial view of the Pacific Ocean as it washes onto the tropical beaches of Honolulu and Hawaii.
Look into your eyes. Here we go again, my friend. Staying together until the end. It's gonna be a lovely day. It's gonna be a lovely day. It's gonna be a lovely day. It's gonna be a lovely day.
Bikini-clad beach babes catwalk along the sand, while sun-soaking surf dudes ride the crashing waves.
Being out in the open air, living life like we just don't care. Just doing what we want to do, not doing what we're supposed to. It's gonna be a lovely day.
Meanwhile, a speedster on a motorbike burns along the winding roads that snake around the lush green coastal hills. He raises up his front wheel in carefree moments of acrobatic display.
Just float on top of the clouds that cover all skies, I say. We'll just fly on top of the clouds that cover all skies.
The bike dude flies through the air and lands expertly on a dirt track and burns past tropical trees and dry grasses. He careens along a dirt track on one wheel for dozens of yards, then rambles cross-country in an open field of tall grassland. Finally, he leaps over a ditch and returns to the main track. Later, the bike dude comes to rest by some palm trees and listens to his MP3 player. As the track finishes, he puts his headphones away, opens a can of beer, and walks over to the base of a wooden bridge that stretches overhead. Suddenly, a blood-soaked man hangs suspended from the bridge.
Go! Get out of here! Go!
The bike dude rushes for cover behind some foliage as Oriental thugs run down towards the suspended man. A 4x4 pulls up, while the thugs punch the man in the stomach. An Oriental gangster in a white suit rushes up, swinging a baseball bat in his hand.
They say the higher you aim, the farther you fall.
Fuck you, Eddie Kim.
And look at you now, Mr. Prosecutor. Huh? Not so high and mighty anymore.
The prosecutor spits in Eddie Kim's face.
Well, that's a noble gesture. I'll make sure to tell your son all about it. The reason he gets to grow up without a father is because of how goddamn noble he was. Then again, I was raised by a single mom and I didn't turn out so bad, huh? Woo!
As Kim pummels the prosecutor with a baseball bat, the bike dude scarpers in panic.
Clean this up. I'm going back to LA.
As he escapes on his bike, the thugs fire their weapons at him.
Let's get the hell out of here. And find that guy!
The bike dude watches TV.
This is Mi Jiang Lee reporting live from the Ka'ena Point area. Details remain sketchy in the brutal slaying yesterday of Los Angeles prosecutor Daniel Hayes, who was vacationing in Hawaii. Hayes has been in the news lately for his high-profile pursuit of reputed mobster Edward Kim. Mr. Kim's representatives have issued a statement of condolences to the Hayes family and claim absolutely no involvement in what they call a hideous act of violence.
Someone outside the door.
In the criminal investigation of Mr. Kim involves charges of murder, racketeering, and police corruption at the highest levels, both here in Hawaii.
They drill the lock.
Thank you, Mi Jiang. We'll be sure to check in for any updates as they become available.
The bike dude checks through the peephole and sees Eddie Kim's thugs drilling away the lock on the door, waving guns in readiness for an attack. He retreats outdoors onto a balcony where someone grabs him from behind and puts their hand over his mouth.
Do as I say, and you live.
Stay flat against this wall. Don't even breathe.
As the three thugs enter the room, he picks two of them off easily. The other hides in time.
Go! 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 That way!
The second time, he nails the third man, and they jump off the balcony onto a car bonnet.
Black car! Go!
The two men rush into the black man's black car, and they speed away from the scene, narrowly missing a car coming from the other direction.
What the hell is going on?
You witnessed a murder and didn't tell anybody. Why didn't you call the police?
The news said they were corrupt, so I figured to be in on it.
Smart kid.
Who are you?
I'm Agent Neville Flynn, FBI. Pleased to meet you, Sean.
Sean cautiously fastens his seatbelt as he ponders his escape from the thugs. Later, Sean is interviewed in a holding room deep in the bowels of the Honolulu Federal Building.
I gotta tell you, Sean, I'm getting a little tired of all this garbage you've been feeding me. You know you were there, your prints are all over it, so stop insulting my intelligence. You witnessed a murder. You have a responsibility.
Agent Flynn enters the room and takes over.
Look here, Sean. I've been doing this for a while, so I know all kinds of neat little interrogation tricks. You know, good cop, bad cop, reverse psychology, stare-down contest, threats. You name it, I've done it. But why don't we leapfrog all that bullshit, save ourselves a lot of aggravation and time, of which there's close to zero, and I tell you the truth. Truth is, I'm not worried about you if you testify. But I am worried about you if you don't.
What if I didn't see him clear? I mean, I wouldn't be a
victim. Why didn't I just tell you about saving us aggravation and time? He knows who you are. That's why those people were at your house trying to kill you. And make no mistake, Eddie Kim will kill you. If you let him.
Last week I was planning a surfing trip to Bali. Now... now you make it sound like I have no choice.
No, 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 no. You got choices. Yeah, tons of choices, but there's only one correct choice. Come with us to L.A., testify against his ass, put him in jail for life. Tell you what, you sit here, think about it, you let us know what you decide. We'll be outside.
The two agents leave Sean to sweat it out. Later at Honolulu International Airport, two stewardesses chat on their way to work.
So you got any requests for your final flight?
Well, just what any flight attendant wants.
No maintenance passengers.
Uh-huh. That would be very nice.
Two big brothers keep back the fans from a black rap star as he browses in an airport shop. Autographing her breast.
Take care.
All right.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, little man. Here we go.
There you go. Hey, yo, stay black.
Hell yeah.
All right. All right, y'all, God bless you. I gotta get out of here and catch this flight, all right? Y'all take care. Catch the next album. Yeah, all right, no doubt.
Antiseptic alcohol rub.
All right, look, we gotta make sure we got some more of this, all right?
Look at the how he used a rap.
What? What was that?
He said, man, can you believe this crap? Man, this is crap right
here. Hey, yo, come on, y'all. Y'all messing with T-shirts and hats and stuff. Y'all supposed to be watching my back, son. Right, come bro. On.
Ladies and gentlemen, South Pacific Air Flight 121 has been delayed half an hour.
Come on.
We apologize for this inconvenience and we'll be boarding as soon as possible.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a fun flight.
The two stewardesses board the plane.
5 whole hours. Do you know I was working today? I didn't get a crew list.
You know, I have no idea.
Her co-workers hide behind a drape.
Surprise!
She hugs them both.
Oh, Claire, don't go. Last thing the world needs is another lawyer. I mean, really, how could you leave all this?
Oh, it's gonna be hard.
You take me with you? Please?
Did we ask for Bruno from Simply Corporate? Elena, by we, I mean you. No, not all drivers are the same. That's the point. The last thing I need is some guy going on and on about the weather the whole way home. Get Bruno.
A passenger and her chihuahua wait in the terminal.
Mary-Kate, hush. Sorry, she gets nervous flying.
Oh, it's okay. I understand. You know, do you think she wants some Xanax?
Oh, no, she's okay.
Sean and Agent Flynn look out through an airport window.
How you feeling?
Yeah, fine.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Police cars attend a small jet plane that waits on the tarmac.
Is that our plane?
No. Every cop in Honolulu thinks it is. Hey, come on, relax.
Sean is accompanied through a deserted departure lounge. Meanwhile, as stewardess Claire readies some sleeping blankets for the flight, an FBI sniffer dog enters the plane and begins to check around. The captain clambers down the stairs towards her.
FBI's escorting some guy to L.A. They just took over all first class.
Are they allowed to do that?
Well, apparently FAA Section 108 states, if deemed necessary, they can do whatever they want.
Well, who's going to tell the first class passengers the flying coach?
That'll be you, kid.
As Claire walks away in disbelief, more sniffer dogs enter the plane to examine the luggage hold. A luggage attendant watches them and makes a call on his cell phone.
South Pacific Air 121.
The co-pilot approaches Claire.
Oh, my. I was hoping you'd be the sky candy on this flight. You're looking especially delicious this evening.
I love it when you demean me, Rick.
My pleasure. I gotta go fly a big plane. I know.
Hi there, Rick. Isn't he smooth?
A man spraying a box of Hawaiian Lays.
Yes, sir. I'm soaking the Lays with it. The pheromone will make these guys go fucking crazy.
An FBI dog handler inspects the luggage hold. He passes a pallet of lay boxes, and the dog begins to sniff at a cat in its box that hisses back with aggression.
Leave it to him.
Sean and Flynn enter the plane and greet a frosty Claire and Tiffany. Flynn shows his badge.
Ladies.
Welcome aboard. Agent Flynn.
While Flynn proceeds to first class, the other passengers receive lays.
Thank you.
Claire explains the situation to a sour-looking businessman.
Unfortunately, first class is overbooked, but there's plenty of room for you to stretch out in coach, which is less than half full. Okay. For the inconvenience, we are offering you a free travel coupon, good on any South Pacific Air flight.
Well, free travel coupon won't help me get to my meeting on time now, will it?
Sir, I'm pretty sure that coach gets to Los Angeles about the same time as first.
Funny. Does my premium rewards membership come with sarcasm, or should I speak to your supervisor, Claire?
This better be a matter of national security.
Did I just hear there's no first class?
I'm afraid only coach is available.
Coach? Is it safe there? Yes, it is safe there.
While Flynn rests next to him, Sean reclines his first class seat and makes himself comfortable.
Never flown first class before.
See? Things are looking up already.
So how long you and Mr. Personality been working together?
5 years, one blown marriage each. He's the toughest son of a bitch I ever met.
Wow.
Yep, that's us. The glamour and the glory.
Flynn. The captain's patching us through to Harris for the flight.
In an office in the Los Angeles Federal Building, a man sits at his desk surfing the internet.
Harris, Special Agent Harris.
Harris. So, how's that new promotion?
I'm loving it.
That was a little quick. You want to try again?
No, I'm serious, man. You know, no more junk food hangovers after all my stakeouts, you know. I'm actually spending nights in bed with my wife. She's hot. You know, and my kids, you know, forget about it, my kids. I'm just spending every waking minute with them, and, you know, they're fun.
Please, this is
me you're talking to. You know you miss it. You miss the action. You're bored
to tears. So what are you actually doing with your time?
Surfing the net.
Porn, no doubt.
No, hey, eBay, my cynical-minded friend. I'm right in the middle of a bidding war with this punk-ass kid from Iowa for this black velvet Pamela Anderson poster. Not technically porn.
So, how's Eddie Kim doing?
Well, you don't gotta worry about him. He ain't going anywhere. I got 3 teams on him, so he's not gonna move.
All right.
I'll see you on the other side.
Over at the Kim residence, Superfit Eddie pummels into a guy in a kickbox bout and emerges the clear victor. His very unfit sidekick waddles up to him for further instructions.
Are you sure about this?
Accidents happen. You think I didn't exhaust every other option? He saw me!
You're gonna be right down this house.
Look at the little baby.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. The sour businessman in coach.
Oh, beautiful. Jeez. First they stick me in coach, and then they put a freaking dog next to me. What the hell is next?
Oh, you're adorable.
A woman with a baby.
Oh, great. Just great.
Is there a problem, mister?
Well, gee, what do you think? You at least get that vermin to shut up.
Don't worry, Mary Kate. His hair plugs can't hurt you.
The businessman ups and leaves.
Fucking dog, fucking coach, fucking Americans.
Oh, I'm really sorry about first class. Let me see if I can help.
Oh, sweetheart, could you let her know not to touch me, son?
Oh, please, don't touch the man.
Men don't like to be touched. Whoop out on.
Sorry. Here's some coupons.
Yeah, I might, man.
3Gs and co. settle down into their seats. The main man checks out the woman with the dog, and she goes all flirty. Meanwhile, the other two get their game consoles out.
Coach ain't looking so bad after all.
A designer couple snog their way through a round of tonsil hockey. A fat lady.
Yo, check it out. You like that? Baby got back, front and side to side. Hey, y'all two get together, y'all might have like 2 20-pound babies or something.
Dad, why can't you come with us?
Come on, you're gonna be fine. But you're even gonna have fun.
He's just being a baby.
Curtis, counting on you to be a man. Now, what does a man do?
He looks out for his family.
That's right. Oh, sorry, my wife is meeting them in L.A. It's their first time flying solo.
That's okay. Hey, can I tell you a secret?
What?
Guess who's on the plane?
Who?
3 G's.
For real?
I bet you could meet them.
Come on, Tom, let's go.
Tiffany tarts up her makeup and tousles her hair. She undoes another button on her blouse and strides out to meet her public, Sean and Flynn.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we would like to welcome you to South Pacific Airlines Flight 121, non-stop service from Honolulu to Los Angeles. At this time, I would like your full attention as the flight attendants demonstrate the safety features of this aircraft. When the seatbelt sign illuminates, you must fasten your seatbelt. There are several emergency exits on the aircraft located in the forward section, aft section, and over each wing. In the event of decompression, an oxygen mask will automatically drop from a compartment above your seat. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you, place it firmly over your nose and mouth, secure the elastic band behind your head, and breathe normally. A life jacket is located in a pouch under your seat. This is how you put it on. Slip it over your head, pass the straps around your waist, and adjust loosely at the front. Tampering with, disabling, or destroying the smoke detectors located in the lavatories is prohibited by law. We wish you an enjoyable flight.
The plane takes off into the night. The pilot makes an announcement from the cockpit.
Radar indicates a bit of weather up ahead. We might catch a few bumps in the road, but we'll be above most of it. If you need anything at all, you just holler at one of those gorgeous flight attendants, and they'll take good care of y'all. Thank you. Good evening.
While Ken puts on lip balm, Tiffany catwalks into first, plants herself next to Sean, and serves him a drink.
Thank you.
I'm Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. I'm Sean.
So, mind if I, ask what you did?
Oh, me? Nothing. It's, what I'm supposed to do. Ever heard of Eddie Kim?
Who hasn't? Oh, I was watching one of those crime shows once, you know, with the hokey reenactments, where he tortured this guy who was a witness against him by gouging out his eyes and then feeding him to some pigs. Pretty gruesome stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around, that guy.
So, yeah, what do you have to...
I'm a witness for the prosecution.
Wow. That is so... hot.
The plane continues into the night, enveloped by storm clouds that crackle with flashes of lightning. Meanwhile, as the altimeter hits 35,000 feet, deep down in the hold, inside a box of slithering snakes, a timer begins a two-hour countdown, all of which lies hidden within a pallet of Hawaiian leis. Claire and Ruth attend to their passengers.
I'm gonna miss these night flights.
I enjoy the passengers so much better when they're unconscious.
And you, I'm gonna miss you.
They clear away the remains of dinner.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
Could we get a gin and tonic?
I'll be right back with that.
Thanks.
The nervous flyer inhales nasal drops while Ken eyes a tattooed muscular Oriental.
In Hawaii for a vacation?
Not really. I was there for the kickboxing tournament.
Oh my god, you're a kickboxer? Me too. Well, I take a kickboxing class with Lonnie, Malibu Fitness.
Uh-huh.
Awesome cardio.
Good for you.
And my girlfriend and I go Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, girlfriend.
Yeah, wait, watch this.
He gets into position, beckons him on, and kicks, straining himself.
Come on, take it easy, buddy. You okay?
Oh, son of a... Yeah.
You all right, dude?
Hey, you look around. Look around the plane. How come there aren't more people on this flight? I can't figure it out.
Honey, because it's the red eye.
Okay.
I'm sorry, sweetie.
No, I accept that.
If you hated flying this much, why did you let me pick Hawaii for a honeymoon?
Because that's where you wanted to go.
They kiss. The timer reads 2 minutes 57. Flynn in first.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Flynn admires Sean's drawing of a surfer.
Bali, huh?
What?
You said earlier you wanted to go to Bali. It's a very beautiful place. Been there.
You surf. You don't look like a surfer. No disrespect.
Ain't none taken. And I did try it. I figured why spend all my time in the ocean when I could lay on the beach and admire all the beauties, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Couldn't stay on your board, could you?
No. Fell off every turn. Got me.
Flynn decides to go for a walk around the plane. He descends the stairs into coach, casually looks at all the passengers, most of whom are sitting quietly, and approaches the flight attendant area, where Claire is working on her own.
Can I help you?
No, I'm just stretching my legs.
Big plane. Plenty of places to do it.
Plenty of other places to do it, you mean?
She nods.
I do something wrong here?
Technically, no. But maybe next time you people could give us a little heads up before you commandeer the plane.
You people?
Oh, no.
Hey, don't stress. Just joking.
So can I get you something, or?
No, I'm cool. Let's just pretend I'm not here.
Okay.
3G's tries to capture the woman with the dog's attention. She waves back. He beckons her over to sit with him, and as he slips off his shades, she slides in next to him with her lap dog.
Hi.
What's up?
This is Mary Kate.
Yes, that's nice.
And I'm Mercedes, you know, like the car, vroom vroom.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
She likes you.
Yeah.
Say hi. You are.
Come on now. I'm
trying to steal my dog.
I know, believe me, I don't want the dog.
I'm kidding, I know who you are.
Yeah, I know you know who I am.
3G.
All right, booty go thump.
Yeah, my booty went thump.
Yeah, I know, that's right. That's real, that's tight. Yeah, the dog, you can keep it. All right, that's good, it's cool. Yeah, I love dogs.
He's clearly very nervous about Mary Kate. The plane careens through the night sky and disappears behind some heavy cloud. Meanwhile, hidden within the boxes of Lay's, the timer enters the final countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The boxes of flowers are blown aside as the doors of the hidden crate burst open and multitudes of different snakes slither out to freedom. A cat in his travel box screams in aggressive defense. The greenish blur of a snake's eye view as one of the predators climbs over a pile of Lay's and approaches the cat. It slips easily through the grate in the cat box and quickly finishes off the cat. Meanwhile, the peroxide blonde designer woman in a highly visible pink thong clambers provocatively over the designer man and slinks mischievously to the toilet. A moment later, the man eagerly begins to follow her when he bumps into Ken.
Hello.
He sneaks in. They kiss passionately. And as she produces a joint, he starts to dismantle the smoke alarm.
Yeah.
3G's to Mercedes.
You see, at the end of the day, the music business is still a business.
As a nearby passenger wipes his snotty hands on his trousers, 3G's struggles to maintain his cool.
You okay?
I'm good. As I was saying, see, I'm all about taking the music and the business to the next level. You know what I'm saying? That's when evolution becomes revolution.
Meanwhile, back in the toilet, the designer couple start seriously getting it on and start to rip off each other's clothes. She pauses to toke on the joint.
Screw it.
He whips off her pink top and they get back to business. After a while, he lifts her up onto the basin and starts to thrust into her. Meanwhile, crawling along between the roof and the fuselage, a copperhead snake winds its way toward the large hole left by the missing smoke detector. It scents the air with its tongue and proceeds. As it peers down the hole with a greenish blur of a snake's eye view, the designer couple continue to get it on. Unnoticed, the red copperhead drops down next to them and reveals its fangs ready to strike. She notices too late. Another snake strikes him first in the neck, then the copperhead sinks its fangs around one of her nipples. Outside the door, Ken to Gloria.
Mile High Club.
Those were the days.
Oh, this guy is really good. Well, maybe not that good.
Meanwhile, down in the belly of the plane, snakes roam around freely and begin to attack each other in a frenzy of unprovoked aggression. A horn-nosed viper beats off a challenger and bites into a circuit board with dozens of electrical wires, causing it to spark and short-circuit.
We just lost avionics.
The plane descends into a raging storm. Pilot to co-pilot.
Notify LAX.
LAX, Hula 121. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We are 1,500 nautical miles southwest of Los Angeles. Repeat, mayday. We have lost avionics.
Hula 121 Heavy, Los Angeles Tower. We acknowledge your emergency. You have priority.
All right, give me the manual. Take control.
I have control.
Snakes slither and crawl unnoticed around the cabin floor. They slink past the legs of chairs and unsuspecting passengers' bare feet, while brightly colored venomous coral snakes pour in through open air vents in the cabin wall. An Asian woman taps her foot as she listens to music and flicks through a magazine. A green western bush viper with horns on its head strikes. The woman raises her foot just in time. Elsewhere, a man breaks from flirting with a blonde woman to go to the toilet.
I'll be back.
Inside the toilet, the man poses into the mirror and smooths his eyebrow. Looking down, he unbuttons his trousers.
How's my big boy?
As he urinates into the bowl, a green mamba appears out from under the rim. Still checking out his image in the mirror, the man doesn't notice and pees on the snake's raised head. The mamba bites his penis and won't let go.
Fucking snake, get off my dick! Ah, fuck!
Ah, fuck! As the venom takes effect, the man slumps down onto the floor, dead. Seen from the greenish blur of a snake's eyes view, a python edges along the cabin floor between the seats. It scents the air and decides to head up onto an occupied seat. It slips between the fat lady's legs as she sleeps and continues its journey upward. She stirs briefly and smiles. 3 G's to Mercedes.
As you know, keeping your sexy right is part of the business too. And if you don't mind me saying, it looks like you keep your sexy very, very right.
Well, thank you.
Have you ever acted before?
No.
Because, you know, I would love to put you in one of my pool party videos.
Oh, yeah?
Just throw a little thong on you.
Excuse me, she just wants a treat.
Right. A coral snake hides in her bag.
I can never find anything in here. Her doctor says she's bipolar.
Ah! I almost beat the last level. Hey, man, are you playing that damn video game? Or is that video game playing you, son? Man.
Found him.
A smooth green snake dives into a purple lei and wraps itself around it, tumbling across the cabin floor. Meanwhile, the fat lady is dreaming sexy as the python wriggles around inside her dress. Outside, the weather worsens and pockets of air turbulence shake the plane about and rattle bottles on the retractable tables. The two unaccompanied children look anxiously out of the window. Claire to the nervous flyer who suffers from some allergic reaction.
Sir, I can assure you there's no strange smell. Maybe you're allergic to the lace. Let me take them for you.
Thank you, miss. Any idea how long this turbulence will last?
No, okay.
Well, I'm going to go and ask the pilot.
The pilot opens up a hatchway in the cockpit floor.
Shipwreck, we got smoke.
Something probably arced in the avionics.
As the pilot shines a torch down to the smoky hold, Claire enters the cockpit.
How much longer do you think before we run? What happened?
We lost the board. I gotta reset the breakers. Keep her steady, Rick.
All right.
The older pilot climbs down the ladder into the dark hold while Claire joins Rick, the co-pilot. Down below, the pilot checks the manual with a torch and heads over to where the breakers are kept. He flicks the switches, and while being watched from within by the greenish blur of a snake's eye view, he pushes his hands between the breaker boards and turns them back on.
Okay, Cap, they're coming back.
On the cockpit control panel, lights flicker back into life as the captain trips the last of the switches.
That's it, old man, we're back in...
A snake leaps and bites him in the neck.
Captain!
He lies motionless on the ground.
Rick!
What is it?
Something's happened to the captain.
All right, I'm coming. Oh, Christ. Did you see what happened?
No.
He climbs down to him.
Captain. I think he's had a heart attack.
Claire taps in the door passcode and hurries out of the cockpit into first.
Agent Flynn, Agent Sanders, can I see you for a moment, please?
Sanders looks stonily across to Flynn, and the two men reluctantly follow her. Outside, the storm continues to rage. Later in the cockpit, Flynn checks the captain's pulse and shakes his head to Rick.
I flew that man for 10 years.
Let's go back.
We're halfway. It'd take longer to get back to Honolulu and keep going to L.A. Make sure everybody's strapped in.
Rick returns to his co-pilot chair.
LAX Tower, this is Hula 121. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Pilot in command has suffered a fatal heart attack.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain requests that you remain in your seats with your seatbelts fastened. Thank you.
A woman crosses herself and comforts her baby. Meanwhile, an over-anxious 3Gs takes out his alcoholic rub and sterilizes his hands, while the woman and her dog look on from a distance. Even his fellow rappers look up in concern from their all-engrossing video games. Claire struggles back through the cabin to the unaccompanied children.
How are you doing? Think of it like a roller coaster ride. Do you like roller coaster rides?
No, not really.
No, I mean, they always make me sick. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna close your eyes and count very slowly to 10. And when you open your eyes, you make the funniest face you can at each other. And whoever laughs first loses. Okay? Best out of 5 wins. And I will be back to check on the winner.
Two, three.
Sir, seatbelt, please.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Smooth coral snakes wind their way between the knobs and buttons of the cockpit instrument panel. An unsuspecting Rick holds fast to the steering column as he rides out the storm. A lightning strike causes luggage to fall from the overhead lockers.
What the?
Rick sees the snakes and starts to hammer them with a clipboard. He knocks a switch which causes oxygen masks to drop down in the cabin, and snakes. Passengers are bitten by dangling snakes.
I'll go.
Agent Sanders runs down the stairs, but stops short when he sees dozens of snakes.
Oh, shit.
A woman tries to vomit into a bag, and a snake bites her tongue. Another whacks a rattlesnake with a rolled magazine. The fat lady finally wakes from her reverie to be bitten mercilessly in the eye. Tiffany.
Rick, what's up with the oxygen mask deploying?
No, sorry about that. You're not gonna believe what came out of the goddamn instrument panel.
What?
Look at this. Goddamn snake, honey.
The plane lurches over to one side and Sanders is thrown to the floor and immediately bitten. All over the plane, people are thrown into panic and terror. A snake crawls over Sanders' shoulder.
John, stay up here!
Flynn jumps down to rescue him as a huge yellow snake bites Sanders in the chest. Flynn throws it aside and fights back the others with an electric stun gun.
Ophidiophobia. Fear of snakes.
Mercedes chases after her dog. The plane lurches again, and Mercedes is knocked unconscious to the floor.
Come to the front! There aren't any snakes here!
Flynn sees the mayhem in the main cabin and runs in to help. Stepping from seat to seat, he zaps threatening snakes with his stun gun. One tries to bite the gun.
Everybody, move forward! Cautiously!
A man is repeatedly bitten by a cobra. The unaccompanied children hold on to each other for protection. Elsewhere, having been bitten on the tongue, it swells up until eventually the woman chokes to death. A cobra winds its way purposefully along the cabin floor. It makes its way toward the young boys, rears up its angry hood, and bites the youngest boy on the arm. In the panic, a man is pushed to the floor.
Get out of the
way! Ah, I'm a bitch!
A woman's stiletto breaks off and lodges in his ear.
Out of the way, Grandma!
3G's throws an older lady aside and breaks down the door to the toilet. The disfigured bodies of the designer couple fall on him and push him into a seat.
What the...
Flynn continues his slow passage through the plane, zapping cobras and vipers with his stun gun as he progresses. Elsewhere, helpless passengers are bitten and bitten again by snakes of all patterns, colors, and sizes. A Chinese woman crawls for her life along the cabin floor. The Hispanic woman holds her baby wrapped close to her and makes her way forward. The businessman throws people left and right out of his way. The Hispanic woman encounters a spitting cobra as she opens the toilet door. And as she turns to escape, the plane lurches again and she's knocked out unconscious to the floor. Ken helps passengers to escape.
Go, go!
Oh, fuck me!
Okay.
He stamps on a coral snake and picks it up by the tail.
Oh, shit.
He throws it into a microwave and turns it on.
Yeah! Who's your daddy now, bitch?
The snake explodes. Meanwhile, 3G's rushes over to its buddies for protection.
You guys supposed to be watching my back.
Front, come on, we gotta get to the front.
Grab a train.
As a man rides in snakebite agony, Troy and Big Leroy whack the snakes with tabletops so that 3Gs can escape. Flynn waits for them all to move behind him.
Move!
A snake bites Leroy on the butt.
Get this fucking snake off my ass!
Oh, stop! Got a snake on your ass! Your whole field!
Get him out of here!
Claire helps passengers to escape.
Keep moving!
Everybody listen! We have to put a barrier between us and the snakes! Grab everything from the overheads, under the seats, and let's build a wall! Let's go!
The remaining passengers at the front of the plane begin to make a barrier of bags and luggage, passing items down a makeshift chain. As she places bags in the gangway, Claire looks in horror at the mass of snakes that dominate the main cabin.
Get to this.
The bags begin to pile up and close up the way to the rest of the plane. Somewhere on the other side, Mary Kate tries to wake up Mercedes by licking her face. She comes round just as a snake begins to close in on her, eyeing her with its greenish blurred vision. More snakes make towards her. She grabs at something, and a dead body falls onto her. She kicks it away and climbs onto the seats. Mary Kate defends her mistress by yelping at the approaching snakes, who cower back. A snake hisses, inevitably, from an open locker next to her. The kickbox champion grabs the snake and dashes it against the side.
I'm gonna put you on my back. We're gonna move towards the front, okay? Here we go. Come on, let's go. Yes, you can. You can do it. Come on. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
He picks up Mary Kate, and the two of them fight their way past endless snakes and corpses. Claire to the others.
I need everyone to close any compartment that's open! Just close them!
The remaining passengers stuff oxygen masks and tubing back into the sealing compartments and snap them shut. Flynn startles Claire as he grabs hold of her shoulder.
Hey, whoa, it's only me. What's up?
I can't find those two little boys.
Little boys?
Tommy and Curtis, they're by themselves.
They eventually find the boys in the flight attendant area hiding behind a trolley. Tommy winces in pain.
Mister, my brother, he got bit. I was supposed to take care of him.
You are taking care of him, sweetheart. You're taking care of him right now.
Is he gonna die?
No, honey. But you have to be brave for him now, okay?
Tommy's arm balloons in reaction to the poison. Meanwhile, Grace hears a baby crying from the main cabin. She furiously breaks down the barrier and ventures out to find her. She finds the mother, who begins to wake up on the floor. She begins to panic as she realizes that her baby is no longer wrapped in her sling. The baby sits nearby on the floor playing with a rattle. As Grace approaches, the sound attracts a diamondback rattlesnake.
Oh, Lord.
It rears up at the baby, and as Grace bends down to pick her up, the rattlesnake strikes and bites her on the shoulder blade. But Grace still carries the child safely to her mother.
Oh, my baby.
Here you go. Go.
Thank you.
Go. Hurry. Hurry.
Grace collapses.
Help! I need help!
Oh, my God, Grace. Okay.
Blood seeps from a wound in her shoulder blade.
Okay. Let me.
Oh, my God, I have to go and tell Rick.
Yeah, go. Grab the first aid kit. Grace, hey.
What?
Come on, man, you got to breathe.
We missed the bastards because they were cold-blooded. Come on.
Jeff, listen to me, you're okay. Just take a deep breath, John. You're having a panic attack.
Sanders gestures to his chest. Flynn rips open his shirt, and his swollen, discolored flesh pulsates with the effect of the venom. Flynn regards his partner with complete shock as Rick hurries out of the cockpit.
Gotta be kidding me. Good luck. John.
Tears well up in Flynn's and Sean's eyes as Sanders breathes his last and dies. An emotional Flynn to Rick as he passes.
Hey, we have to figure something out.
Well, I know what I gotta do. We're in a 200-foot aluminum tube, and we're 30,000 feet in the air. And any one of those slimy little pieces of shit can trip a circuit or a relay or a hydraulic, and this bird goes down faster than a tie hooker. So my job is to keep LAX informed on how totally screwed we are, and then find some way to keep this mother in the sky another 2 hours. Figure that out.
Flynn to Tiffany.
Where are you going?
I have to go down. I have to help the passengers.
Later, Claire shows a passenger list to Tiffany.
Now, there's supposed to be a doctor aboard. A doctor, Robert Foster. Robert Foster!
Right here, yes, here he is. Robert Foster, row 11, seat H.
Filled with knowing dread, Claire looks over the barrier and watches with horror as a coral snake crawls out of the mouth of the dead doctor's corpse. Flynn on the phone.
Yeah, Harris. Sanders is dead.
You know all those goddamn security scenarios we ran? Well, I'm smack in the middle of one we didn't think of.
The hell are you talking about? Eddie Kim somehow managed to fill the plane with poisonous snakes. Well, what kind of insane plan is that? He can't possibly guarantee that the snakes are gonna get to Sean. Yeah, well, he doesn't have to guarantee it if he brings the whole plane down.
Harris briefs his team.
Listen up. Everybody listen up.
I want a crisis team at LAX ASAP. But I need the cargo manifest for every scrap of freight on South Pacific Air 121. I can't believe I'm saying this. I need the best poisonous snake expert in this time zone, and I need him in my ear at my side in 20 minutes or less. Well, come on, people, let's go. Somebody make that happen for me. Hey, tell surveillance, don't let Eddie Kim out of their sight.
Ken to Leroy's butt.
All right, we have to suck out the poison.
Man, I ain't sucking nothing.
Okay, I'll do it.
What? Oh, there'll be no sucking. Man, Troy, get this man away from my ass.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah, we sure. Thanks, now.
Okay, sweetheart, it's gonna be okay.
Oh, my God.
My baby, please. Forget about that. Do you have any olive oil in the plane?
Olive oil?
Yeah.
Olive oil.
I'm on it. Yeah, and a cup. When I was a kid, whenever we went hiking, we always carried olive oil and a razor blade in case of a snake bites. I need something to guard. Here you go.
An earring.
Look at this. This will work, yeah. Okay, on. So you swish it in your mouth to seal it from the poison. Look at Claire, Tommy.
Look at me, sweetie.
It's gonna hurt a little bit, okay?
So brave.
Yeah, it's gonna be all right, Tommy.
Having cut open the blistered wound, she sucks out the remaining venom. Leroy watches her with great interest.
That's what I'm talking about.
Good boy.
Yeah, I think you'll get on. It's gonna be okay, Tommy. You're very, very brave.
I got bit, too.
Snakes control the main cabin and slither over lifeless corpses. In their frenzy, they attack each other. Sean to Flynn.
Flynn, what the hell?
Just sit tight.
I can't.
Do you remember the first thing I ever said to you?
Yes.
So what was the first thing I ever said to you?
I know, but things have changed.
What was the first thing I said to you?
Things have changed. You have a whole plane full of snakes. God, do as they say you live.
Nothing's changed. I need you to stay up here by the air phone. When Agent Harris calls, you come and get me. You got it?
Got it.
A frustrated Sean stomps over to the phone and waits.
Hey, they're getting through the luggage here, seriously. I need some help.
Flynn runs down to look.
Fire extinguisher!
Great clouds of CO2 gas spray into the faces of the snake vanguard and send them into a temporary retreat. Flynn to Claire.
Weapons. We have to have weapons. Where's the silverware?
Well, we don't have any silverware. All we have is this.
Sporks.
She smashes a wine bottle.
Who's that?
Harris and a field agent in a van.
His name is Dr. Stephen Price. He's some kind of hardcore snake specialist. And Customs uses him as their go-to guy for any animal smuggling cases.
Go-to guy.
Yeah. Well, you must be good.
The van pulls up outside an apartment complex. Harris jumps out and runs to meet an egg-headed, beardy academic in a crumpled jacket.
Dr. Price?
Is I?
Thank Harris.
I'm hoping this is important. I've got baby Antiguan racer eggs in there ready to hatch. They're the first time ever in captivity. It's
really
very exciting.
Wow. Yeah, well, I got another exciting first I'd like to tell you about.
Ken.
Help somebody! Come on, help me out here! Please,
I'm coming.
I can't do this! Come on, somebody get me out of the fire extinguisher!
Harris to Price.
All right, so we got less than 90 minutes. We've already lost over 50 people, and that's including an FBI agent.
Okay.
Look, we've already contacted local yours.
Oh, local yours. I don't think you understand the magnitude of what you're dealing with here. LA County ERs can, at best, handle the occasional snake bite. Not an entire 747 full of them. I'm going to contact the National Poison Control Center to have them alert every ER in the Tri-County area and to order every available helicopter crew to be ready. We've got less than 2 hours to mobilize an entire army.
Sean appears on the stairs.
Flynn! Hey, they got a snake guy on the phone. Who the hell is that? His
name is Dr. Price.
Look, Doc, people are dying up here. We need help fast.
Okay, just break open any blisters that form around the bites. Keep them clean.
We're doing that. It doesn't seem to be doing much good.
Snakes don't attack unless they're provoked, right? Something up there is making them go crazy.
Yeah, no shit. They're attacking everybody and everything up here. They're especially fond of those fucking Lays.
Lays? Jesus, I don't know. It could possibly be a pheromone. That's what female animals release to trigger mating behavior. It could also provoke serious hyperaggression, like some kind of drug.
Well, that's good news. Snakes on crack.
How could you imbeciles let somebody even turn this plane around?
We sit around here waiting for the snakes to bite us?
Look, everyone just calm down, please. We're doing the best we can here.
Okay, look, there are hundreds of species of snakes with hundreds of cocktails of venom. Some will kill you in 2 minutes, others in 2 hours, and some you can actually cure with a good night's rest. But here's the thing. If you administer the wrong anti-venom, that will kill you.
I am not a zoologist, man. I can identify maybe two of the snakes I've seen up here, a cobra and a rattlesnake, okay?
You're going to have to be more, much more specific than that.
Oh, shit. I'll round up all the dead ones I can find and I'll call you back, okay?
Make it fast. Time is tissue.
Time is
Claire and Tiffany try to stop a mob from climbing the stairs. Three G's and the businessman push past, storm into first and confront Flynn, whose hand wavers over his concealed handgun.
Yeah, keep us down there!
Why exactly are there snakes on this plane?
I don't have time to explain.
Well, you better make time. You put us at risk and you're going to tell us why.
What I'm going to tell you is to go back downstairs now.
Man, who the hell you think you are?
Okay, look, the snakes are on the plane because I'm supposed to testify tomorrow against Eddie Kim.
Oh, Jesus Christ, we're all dead.
Not me. It's my job to handle life and death situations on a daily basis. It's what I do, and I'm very good at it. Now, you can stand there and be the panicked, angry mob and blame him, me, and the government for getting you into this. But if you want to survive tonight, you need to save your energy and start working together. Now, what we need to do is go back in there and find all the dead snakes we can so the doctors on the ground will know what kind of anti-venoms we need. Whatever you find, you bring it to me. And I don't need to tell you to be careful.
Sean follows them.
Whoa, where are you going?
I'm going with them. I can't just sit here doing nothing. Remember when you said, it's all about choices we make. Well, I'm making one. Don't treat me like a prisoner.
I need you to stay up here.
Why?
Because if you die, then all this was for nothing. Sit your ass down.
We got snakes, man.
Flynn joins the others downstairs. Meanwhile, in the cockpit, a huge viper watches Rick as he pilots the plane. It eyes his snakeskin shoes, climbs up onto a control panel, and strikes his arm. As Rick battles to shake it off, he falls down the open hatch into the hole. Flynn to Price, holding a dead snake.
Okay, Doc, I got one here that's, I guess, brownish on top, and I'd say green on the bottom.
Wait a second, pure green or is it blue?
If I had to guess, I'd say green.
No, teal. It's a deep shade of teal.
It's teal, Doc.
Why don't we just take a picture?
Oh, sure. Let's drop it off at Jiffy photo when we land, Einstein.
Ever heard of email, dickwad?
All we need is a digital camera and a computer. Yeah.
Or this. It's got both.
Doc, I'm going to email you some pictures, all right?
Claire notices a beer can roll across the floor and hurries to the cockpit to check on Rick. Rick is missing, and the plane is flying out of control. She notices the open hatch.
Rick!
The massive viper lurches toward her and gathers its coils beside the hatchway entrance. Claire forces it back by slamming shut the hatchway. It winds around itself, poised to strike. Meanwhile, the plane dives out of control. Curtis peers out of the window in confusion.
Are we landing? There are no lights down there. I don't think so.
Doc, photos are coming to you now.
Flynn realizes the situation.
Everybody buckle up now! Now!
While everyone else sits down and buckles himself in, Flynn rushes toward the cockpit door. Meanwhile, the pilotless plane continues to hurtle through the nighttime sky towards the silvery ocean below. The Viper pins Claire into a corner and threatens to strike. Claire grabs hold of a fire axe and brandishes it in spirited defense. She swipes at it and misses, beating a hasty retreat. She tries again. Flynn enters the passcode and enters just as Claire takes another swing, narrowly missing him. Finally, she slices into the Viper and kills it.
Okay, let's pull this thing up.
Hello, 1-2-1, heavy, you're descending through 23,000 feet.
No time to strap in, just pull up, pull hard!
Somebody help me! Somebody help me!
Sean runs downstairs to help her.
Tiffany! Tiffany! Look out!
A trolley crashes towards them.
Yes.
The barrier has gone.
We're gonna get the people upstairs, it's safer there!
Sean battles against dozens of fast-moving snakes. Meanwhile, Flynn and Claire struggle to pull the plane out of its dive.
Hula 1-2-1 Heavy, you are now below 19,000 feet, do you copy?
Sean holds back the snakes as the people escape upstairs. LAX control tower tracks the falling plane.
Hula 1-2-1 Heavy, pull up. Pull up!
Trolleys laden with snakes crash into the front part of the plane like battering rams. One smashes into the nervous flyer and his new wife and pins them against the wall. As they recover from the fall, dozens of angry snakes close in on them and smother them in bites and poisonous spray. Panicked passengers rush up the stairway, while others who were trapped in the confusion are bitten mercilessly. A yellow snake sinks its fangs into a woman's neck. A man is pushed back by one snake and bitten by another. Sean at the stairway. Above them, a huge boa constrictor crawls along the inside of a light fitting. Eventually, its weight smashes the glass and it falls to the floor next to the fleeing passengers. As they hurry up the stairway, the boa slithers off into the main cabin, tasting the air with its tongue as it goes. As the frightened passengers try to force their way to safety, the sheer weight of their numbers causes the safety handrail to collapse. People fall back to the floor. One man lands on a spike which passes through his neck. Another is skewered through the stomach. Blood pours out as the spike is removed. The boa starts to head back towards them. The businessman looks back in panic, grabs Mercedes' lap dog and throws it into the boa's open jaws. As the incensed businessman argues, the boa creeps up behind him and wraps him in his coils. The others flee in horror as the boa tightens its grip around him and begins to squeeze the life out of him. His eyes darken into black jelly and blood seeps from his nose and ears as the boa opens its huge mouth and begins to consume the businessman's balding head. Meanwhile, Sean helps the last of the others and reaches back for a straggler. As the plane lurches again, the straggler is thrown into a glass partition. Snakes begin to climb the stairs.
We gotta block the stairs! Grab bags! Everyone! Come on!
LAX Control monitors the plane's altitude at less than 1,000 feet.
Get me into SB. And call the Coast Guard.
Hula 121 Heavy. You are now below 1,000 feet. Pull up. Pull up.
The plane skims above the surface of the ocean, spray caught in its jet stream, before climbing again to safety. Claire immediately acts on Tiffany's idea. Back in the cockpit, Claire on the intercom.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Hula 121 Heavy. Somebody want to tell me what's going on up there?
We've lost our...
Rick emerges from the hatchway with a ballooning arm. Meanwhile, back in first, as more snakes clamber up the stairs, the other passengers fight to block up the stairwell hole with a life raft. Claire helps Rick back into his pilot seat, and Tiffany pulls the cord to inflate the raft.
Hold it! Hold it down! Push it down! It's great! Okay! Don't let it be down!
Don't break your arm!
She uses her scarf as a tourniquet.
Okay.
There you go. Oh, yeah. You know, Claire, I think I'm gonna need your shirt, too.
Oh, that's very funny.
Yeah, try it, right?
Rick, could you please engage the autopilot?
Yeah, here. You got it.
A petrified Flynn lets go of the sweaty control column.
You think you can fly with one hand?
Oh, baby. You'd be amazed what a man could do with one hand. All right, I got this. You go get it. Do your business.
They close the hatch down again and rejoin Sean in first.
We had no choice. The snakes were everywhere.
Yeah, okay. I guess you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Price studies Flynn's pictures.
These aren't North American snakes.
What? What's the matter? Let's just get the anti-venom and take it to the airport.
No, no, no. These snakes aren't even from this continent. They're from all over the globe. Only a handful of U.S. hospitals even carry foreign anti-venom.
How long?
What? How long? What?
How long to get the anti-venom here?
I don't know, at least a day, maybe two?
What do we do?
I don't know if there's anything we can do.
The plane is back on course, careening through the night sky. Mercedes to Curtis.
What are you drawing there, sweetie?
A picture of a cobra.
Oh, wow. That's really good. I'm really sorry about your dog.
Troy to Tommy.
What's up, buddy? I'm trying to get this guy to slam the basketball. I just won't do it.
Last month, they offered early retirement. But no, this broad needed one more tour of duty.
You were here for a reason. You saved my baby.
That's a pretty good reason.
Later, Sean to Flynn and Claire.
Flynn, it's too hot.
I'm from Tennessee. I hadn't noticed. Anyway, he's the least of our worries.
No, no, no. Listen, listen. The air's not recycling.
He's right. If there's no air conditioning, it's going to get too hard to breathe.
Shit.
Harris to Price.
Hey, how about the zoos? How about the zoos? I mean, the zoo's got snakes, right? So they must have anti-venom there.
We would need a detailed list of every species involved with that exact number, and an exotic shipment like this would only come through a dealer, so...
All right, well, who in Hawaii would do that?
And no one in Hawaii, because snakes aren't indigenous to Hawaii.
Yeah, but Eddie Kim lives in L.A. Could he have shopped locally?
Yes. Only one guy could arrange this many illegal snakes. He lives out in the desert.
Take us to the heliport.
You don't think I know it's higher than hell in here? We also have abnormal vibrations in the engines 1 and 2. I had no choice but to throttle back.
You slowed down?
Yeah, well, you know, it's that or option B.
Which is?
I go faster and the engine seize up. We eventually plummet to a horrible death. They spend the next year identifying femurs.
Okay, so just tell me how to get the AC back on.
We've lost power to the outflow valve motor.
Which is where?
Well, you gotta reset it manually. The breaker's down in the cargo hold. Yeah. Sucks to be you right now.
3G's freaks out.
Get off me, man! I told y'all stop touching on me and coughing on me. It's disgusting up in here. Stay away from me.
He grabs an oxygen mask.
Yo, how come there's no air coming out of this piece of junk? How come there's no air coming out of here?
It only lasts about 10 minutes after they deploy now. Please, I just need...
Please, nothing. Get out my face, man. Get
sir,
it back away from me.
Please, just take a seat.
You sit down. Whoa. Back away. Just don't watch. Get off. Back up off me, man. Back up.
Hey.
Look, I gotta get off this plane, man. I'm
listen, brother,
bullshit,
you got to chill.
Man.
Look, just get a grip, all right?
Get a grip, man. You get...
Grabbing the gun.
Back up!
That gun goes off in this pressurized cabin, we all die.
Well, you know what? I want some air.
What's the matter with you, Clarence?
What's
the matter with you, man? Hey, look, you know we go back to when we were kids, all right? But I don't even recognize you right now. You're waving a gun at all these innocent women and children. Man, there's a baby right over there, man. We're all in trouble here, dog. This ain't just about you.
Sit your ass down, Clarence. Whatever, man.
3G sits down in a strop. As he hits the chair, the lights short out.
Shit, now what?
3G.
Claire helps Tommy with an oxygen mask.
Oh, God. Grace.
Claire joins a tearful Tiffany beside Grace's dead body. Tiffany breaks down completely. Claire remains strong and covers Grace's face with her flight attendant's jacket. Later, Claire breaks down in a quiet corner. Flynn approaches her.
Claire.
She turns, wipes her eyes, and buries her head in his shoulder.
I need you to be strong. Come on. Let's go get these people some air.
Okay.
Flynn and Claire peer through the elevator window with a torch. Inside are two angry snakes. Claire opens the door, and Flynn kills them both with a broken bottle on a stick. Flynn drags their remains out of the lift, and Claire shows him an improvised weapon, a lighter mounted on an aerosol can.
See this? I went through a pyromaniac phase as a kid. Here.
You too, huh? Anything else I should know about you?
Let me go with you. You don't know your way around down there.
I need you up here with my eyes and ears. Call me.
A walkie-talkie.
Be back as soon as I can.
Better. Be careful.
Flynn presses a button and the dumb waiter descends to the cargo hold as the plane carries on into the night. When Flynn arrives in the darkness below, all seems quiet.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, the EAP panel should be on your right.
Guided by Claire's schematic, he searches along the metallic walls of the storeroom with a torch. On the far wall, he spots a panel screwed in place. With his torch in his mouth, he undoes the screws and lifts the panel onto the floor. Inside is a mass of wiring, but no obvious snakes. A junction box is located further in, against the floor of the fuselage.
Okay, here I go.
Flynn puts the torch back in his mouth and takes hold of the aerosol can as he clambers into the confined access passage. He crawls along a narrow board with wires dangling down in his face. Something drops down and he turns to look in panic to see that it's just a bunch of loose wires. He carries on through the narrow tunnel. Meanwhile, Sean hands out bottles of drinking water to Troy and Leroy.
How's your boy?
I don't know, man. He's in a lot of pain. Here, man, take some of this water.
Thank you. Hey.
Hey.
You got any water?
Sure, yeah.
Thanks. Look, I'm not really good at this whole apologizing thing, but I'm sorry about pushing you.
It's all right.
You too, man. That's my bad.
Flynn passes through an open panel in the cargo hold, above which reads, "Warning, this panel must be closed and secured at all times before takeoff and flight."
Oh. Looks like somebody rigged this access panel door to stay open so the snakes could get out.
Careful.
All right, so where's this outflow breaker panel you were talking about?
Oh, it's in the very next compartment.
Flynn clambers over open boxes of Hawaiian Lays and into the next compartment. He peers in cautiously with his torch and drags a luggage container to one side in order to pass by. Against a wall, he finds the breaker switch and struggles to throw it, even with both hands.
Shit! What's going on?
Goddamn lever stuck.
A snake attacks him from a rafter above. Flynn responds by torching it and two others with his aerosol can. Eventually, all three snakes drop down dead to the floor.
Flynn, are you okay?
Yeah.
Flynn starts rummaging through bags and luggage, trying to find something that he can use. After a few abortive attempts, he eventually finds a scuba knife, which he tucks into his belt, and a harpoon gun, which he uses to force the switch back into position. The lights and air conditioning kick back in. Mercedes delights in the wind in her hair.
Hear that?
Meanwhile, Flynn is under attack from an aggressive sidewinder that stalks him through the storage hold. He tries throwing luggage in its way to block its path, but it keeps coming. Flynn trips backwards and falls into the boxes of Lay's. He primes the harpoon gun, and as the sidewinder pops its head over the crate, he spears it against the side. Meanwhile, a helicopter flies out across the Californian countryside in the early morning light with Harris and Price on board.
Kratler's been busted twice by customs for possession of illegal snakes. There he is! That's him!
Down! Down! Get the door.
What are you doing?
My job!
Harris follows Kratler into a barn. Kratler fires his shotgun at him, and he ducks for cover. Harris and another agent cautiously pursue him as he runs deeper into the complex of outbuildings. Kratler hurries into a room filled with glass boxes of snakes and hides himself behind one. A rattlesnake watches from one of the boxes. As Harris rounds the door, Kratler fires his shotgun at him and misses. As Harris works his way in, he shoots Kratler in the chest and he smashes into one of the glass snake boxes.
Area secure. Send in Dr. Price now.
The snake bites Kratler's leg.
Wow. That's gonna leave a mark.
That's a desert black snake. That's indigenous to the Middle East.
Looks like you can use some anti-venom.
In the fridge. Hurry!
Oh, hurry! Middle East. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Price, but that would make that snake illegal, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
How long does that give Mr. Mullet here to live?
I would say about 7 minutes.
7 minutes. All right, that's something. Hey. I'd love to do this whole dance. You don't take a nuanced approach to interrogating you, but the truth of it is, I don't have time to be subtle. I want a list of every snake on that plane. You got less than 7 minutes.
On the clipboard. The clipboard!
Is that every snake on that plane? Did Eddie Kim pay you to do this?
Yes! Look, give me the shot, goddammit!
Well, what are you gonna do, call the ACLU?
How'd you get these guys to be so aggressive? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey.
You're wasting it! Pheromones! We sprayed the flowers with it so it'd circulate in the plane's air system. I swear to God, that's it!
Price gestures to Harris to give him the antidote syringe. He does so. And while Price injects Kraetler, Harris picks up his cell phone.
Bring in Eddie Kim, charge him with multiple counts of murder and attempted murder, and get that piece of shit attorney on the phone. Yeah, tell him to ask Kim what his preference is. Gas or lethal injection.
Meanwhile, as the plane heads towards a brilliant sunrise, Claire greets Flynn as he emerges safely from the dumb waiter.
Oh, thank God.
Flynn! It's Harris.
Tiffany and others hug and congratulate Flynn as he hastens to pick up the phone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Outstanding. All right. Everybody, listen. They have the anti-venom. It's going to be waiting for us when we land in L.A. Hear that, little man? Brother's going to be fine. All up to the pilot now.
I'll go give him the good news. Rick, open the door.
What's going on?
He's not answering.
Rick!
Flynn prises open the door with his knife, and Rick's body flops to the floor. Angry green asps advance towards them. Flynn slams shut the door. Claire checks on Rick, but he's dead. Later, Claire to the rest of the survivors.
I can't believe I'm gonna say this. Is there anyone here who knows how to fly a plane?
Claire. I'll do it. I'm sure the tower can talk me through it.
No, Flynn. I know who could land this plane.
Who?
Him. Yeah, you. Come on, Troy. You know you can do this, man. Come on, take us home, dog.
You know how to fly?
Man, I got over 2,000 hours. This is all you talked about. Troy, you can do this.
Yeah, I can do this.
We gotta clear the snakes out of the cockpit.
Yeah, clear the snakes out of the cockpit, yeah.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some fucking windows.
Passengers rush into their seats and secure their seatbelts. Meanwhile, Flynn and some other men gather together some rope from the inflatable raft.
Take this. Tie it to the cockpit door. Let's go.
Troy takes the rope and ties it into a knot on the cockpit door. The others continue to belt in as Troy gets into position and takes up the slack on the rope.
Pressure and oxygen. You gotta get us down as fast as you can.
All right, everybody, make sure you're strapped in as securely as possible. Remember, it's going to be loud and it's going to be cold. Hold your breath as long as you can, all right? And protect your head. Use your arms. Is everybody ready?
Ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right, take the position.
They brace themselves.
One, two, three.
As the gunshot pierces the window, decompression causes loose items to be sucked out of the aeroplane. The passengers cower in the frightening noise as lost belongings swirl around the cabin. As larger and larger articles are forced out, the hole begins to increase in size until chunks of the side of the plane are missing.
Do it now!
Troy yanks open the cockpit door. An asp coils around Mercedes' neck. The kickboxer throws it out of the plane as Flynn checks the cockpit for more snakes. The two men enter the cockpit and struggle against the air pressure to close the cockpit door. They drag it closed using the ropes. Flynn and Troy throw off the ropes and hurry into the pilot's seats.
Get that autopilot switch for me.
Troy takes the column and forces it forwards into a dive. Inside, a large suitcase punches a massive hole in the plane's fuselage, and passengers are sucked towards the gaping hole, holding on for dear life. Tiffany loses her grip and is caught by Sean, Troy in the cockpit.
Come on, baby.
Both men try to ease their steering columns forward. Meanwhile, back in first, the inflatable raft is blown away and snakes are sucked out from the main cabin past the passengers and out of the hole in the plane. Claire struggles to hold on as snakes and luggage fly past her. Just as she secures herself, the huge boa flies past with the businessman's legs sticking out of its mouth. Troy in the cockpit.
Yeah, right about there. Okay, we're leveling out.
Sean to Tiffany.
You okay?
The plane's not level. It's not level.
Yeah, I know that the plane is not level, okay? Okay? Give me a break, man. All right, what's up, y'all? What it is, what it is. This is your new pilot, Troy, speaking. And sitting next to me is my main man, my brother from another mother, the biggest pimp that I know, Superfly Agent Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, Agent Flynn.
Alex, control to Troy.
Sir, have you got any experience piloting a jet aircraft?
Oh, yeah. F-15s, F-16s, AT-M Warthogs, I've flown all that shit.
Then we're all thankful to have you, sir. What squadron were you with?
The Awesome Fighting Aces. Man, I'm telling you, the video gamers got their shit locked down tight.
Sir, are you telling me that your only real flight time is at the controls of a video game?
No, it's not a video game, all right? It's a flight simulator.
Is that PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation 2. Man, it's got an introduction by Chuck Yeager and everything. But, Flynn, man, I can do this. Trust me. Look, LAX, just give me my VOR numbers and my approach vectors and I'll be fine.
Sir, I suggest you relinquish the pilot's chair to someone more experienced.
This is Agent Neville Flynn, FBI. You are talking to the only person up here who has that experience. I suggest you give him what he needs so we can land this thing.
The other passengers recover.
So, you are pretty good at this game, right?
Yes, man. No problem. Well, I mean, my older brother Randy has got the high score, but I'm good. Asshole never lets me hear the end of it. LAX Tower, this is Hula 121 requesting clearance for landing. Please advise which runway.
Hula 121 Heavy, we're in the process of clearing all the runways, but you got a strong tailwind. Advise, come around and use runway 24 left.
No, negative, Tower. I can't do that. I don't have time for westbound orientation. Look, I got a lot of injured passengers up here who need help immediately.
You try to land west to east, you'll come in too fast to control.
Well, then I suggest you speed up clearing the rest of the runways, because my ass is coming in for a landing.
Troy drops the undercarriage.
Brace yourselves, you guys. This is it.
Everybody, brace
yourselves. Claire, Ken, and Tiffany grab hold of the handrail and ready themselves for impact. The plane hurtles towards the ground and bounces off the runway at high speed. It eventually settles on the tarmac, but continues at great speed past the terminal. Troy forces the column round to the left and the plane swerves away from the end of the runway and disappears behind the end of the terminal building. Finally, the plane judders to a halt. Much to everyone's relief, especially Flynn and the control tower. Flynn and Troy stare at each other in total amazement.
PlayStation. Yeah!
Damn!
Yeah.
That's my boy Troy, yes!
Hell yeah! Whose house is this? Troy's house, that's right. Fuck Randy. Fuck Randy in his high school. That's my own brother, and I say fuck him!
Emergency vehicles flock to the plane. Leroy to 3G's.
My ass. My ass, man.
Okay, let's get going.
As Flynn and Troy leave the cockpit, more police and emergency vehicles throng around the plane. Claire, Ken and Tiffany help the dazed passengers with their seat buckles. Snake handlers arrive with traps and long metal grabs. Overhead, a medical helicopter settles onto the tarmac. Meanwhile, inside, Claire and Ken hurry the passengers to the main exit. As Harris's FBI helicopter arrives on the scene, Claire thanks Troy, who is the first to jump down the inflatable chute.
Thank you.
After Troy comes the Hispanic woman with her baby. Then 3G's for the little boy Tommy, followed by Mercedes. Clambering out of the helicopter, Harris to Price, who carries a box of anti-venom.
Hey, Doc, thank you. Hey, look at those Antiguan racers.
It's nice working with you, Agent.
Please help! Help, please! This boy is unconscious.
Keep that close, all right?
He needs oxygen right away.
Did anyone see the snake that bit this boy?
Sean, sweetie, it's okay.
What is it?
I couldn't find the snake that bit him, so I drew a picture.
It's a cobra, right? Like Indiana Jones? That's excellent. Lactated bringer solution, 25 milliliters. I'll do the anti-venom.
Flynn watches from the doorway as Claire jumps down the chute.
Sean.
Sean climbs down the broken stairway to meet him.
Before everything gets crazy out there, I want to say thanks. Couldn't have done this without you.
They shake hands.
Yeah. Let's lock this guy up trying to kill us.
A snake bites Sean in the chest. Flynn shoots the snake and knocks Sean backwards down the chute. FBI men recover him. And as a shocked Tiffany and Claire watch from the sidelines, Flynn jumps down the chute to join them. He tucks away his gun as medics tend to a blood-soaked Sean.
You all right? Come on.
Flynn helps him up and reveals body armor beneath Sean's shirt.
Nice. Things like shit, huh?
Yeah.
This is Agent Harris, the guy on the other end of the phone. It's an honor.
Ken's girlfriend appears.
Kenny, baby!
Oh, I want to get you home. That's a little girl.
As the medical chopper leaves, Flynn to Claire.
Claire. Now that you've saved my life, I think I kind of owe you a dinner to show my appreciation.
Well, I would very much like to take you up on that.
Is that right?
Call me.
Will do.
Claire walks cheerily away, while Tiffany rushes up to a shirtless Sean.
Sean.
Hey.
Writing her number on his hand.
Oh, damn.
She kisses him full on the mouth.
I'll definitely call you. Thank you.
That's how you like flying in first class?
Do you remember the first thing you ever told me?
What the fuck's that you had to do with anything?
What was the first thing you ever told me?
Do as I say and you live.
Exactly. Now it's your turn. Do as I say, and you live.
Later, Sean and Flynn go surfing on a tropical sea. The end.
And I would do anything for you. It's true, it's true.
Come on.
I want to...
With tongues so reptilian, this industry's venomous. With cold-blooded cinnamon, no need for nervousness. It's just a little turbulence.
Pace from midtown to downtown, snakes on a block. I suggest you grab your ankles and kiss your ass goodbye.